As I said at the beginning, I have chosen to offer this as a votive mass in honor of St. Joseph. And the reason for that, part of the reason is today's Wednesday and it's a day of devotion to St. Joseph. But part of it is that it struck me that St. Joseph can help us get a right understanding of these readings, which can be a little bit troubling. See, Joseph has this balancing effect. He's a worker. He's a hard worker. He works. He serves the kingdom, but he also is absolutely trusting in God. So he can sleep well at night. He doesn't have anxiety about all the work he has to do, but when he works, he's attentive. So it's this balance of how much of it is on us and how much of it is on God. But Joseph has this worked out, and he can help us. He can help us with this because we tend to go to one extreme or another. Either we put ourselves in the middle and say, I've got to do this and this and this in order to be saved. Or we say, well, you know, God's the one in charge and I don't have to do anything. And so then we become bad servants. So I think Joseph came to my mind actually reading the first reading when St. Paul mentions about the children and the fathers and the slaves and the masters. Sort of, you know, children, we can understand children being obedient and we can understand fathers being told to not provoke the children. Well, Joseph is a good father. He brings us up with the training and instruction of the Lord. This, you know, training, instruction, there are things to learn. There are things disciplines we have to practice, but we're not supposed to be provoked to anger or be frustrated or live in anxiety. And then this whole business of the slaves and the masters, well, we don't even like the idea of slavery, so it's hard for us to imagine this. But what St. Paul is saying here is, you know, work hard for the Lord, not for men. And that's St. Joseph again. Don't be currying favor and don't try to impress. Just work for the Lord. And both slaves and masters are under the same God. So, but let's focus here on the gospel. Jesus is asked this question, will only a few people be saved? Which is a big question, and it's a question that has loomed over the human history forever. What happens after we die, and how can we be sure that we'll be better off afterward than we are now and not worse off? So even in pagan religions, before any revelation, this was a question. What do you do? How do you placate the gods? What do you have to do to make sure you end up better off in the next life? Typically, in ancient times, there was a lot of fear about what was going to happen, and because the gods tended to be a little bit unpredictable and you have to do everything perfectly, and even then they might not like you and all that sort of thing. So there was a lot of anxiety about that, and the great freedom that broke into the world when God revealed himself to the chosen people and said, I'm merciful God. I'm a merciful God for, you know, down to the thousandth generation, a merciful God. It took a while for the Jews to get that, but God very patiently, you know, gave them the commandments and said, look, I want you to be my people and this is how to do it. So all the training and the commandments and the prophets and all this guidance. And of course, part of what was exposed in that is the hardness of hard-heartedness of the human family. Even when God does reveal himself and give us guidance, it doesn't mean we'll follow. But the great revolution that changed everything, of course, was when God became man and revealed himself among us, Jesus Christ. So Jesus comes and reveals the extraordinary mercy of the Father, the great love. In fact, the reason why we can have such hope for eternal salvation is because God wants this for us. It has nothing to, in a certain way, has nothing to do with us, because God had this in mind for us before we were even on the scene. So that's the part of the great news. But then when we hear this response of Jesus to the man's question, it makes our head spin, because the man says, will only a few people be saved? Maybe expecting Jesus, who's so merciful to even the worst sinners, expecting Jesus to say, well, yeah, no, everybody's got to come in. That's the modern idea. And Jesus says, well, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And he talks about a narrow gate. He talks about not being strong enough to enter. He talks about the master of the house locking the door. He talks about the master of the house saying, well, depart from me, you evildoers, wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we start to think, wait a minute, now that's not what we expected him to say when he's teaching about salvation. And once, you know, once we're like thrown off balance, then at the end he says, people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. Is it to say, well, now he's talking about a lot of people being saved again. Like that's what we expected in the first place. So he has to do here is he has to cast down our tendency to put the responsibility on ourselves and make it clear to us that on our own, we can't make it. It's a narrow gate, and who is strong enough to get through? Who's strong enough to overpower God and make him accept us? Well, you're going to be wailing and gnashing your teeth if you think you're going to change God's mind because of your goodness. That just doesn't work. So he has to like break down that mentality. But once he does, once he makes it clear, you know, you're not going to just walk in here because of your goodness or because of all the good things you've done or because you have ate and drank in my company and you listened to my teaching in your streets. That's not going to do it. Who saves us? The Lord saves us. And so people from the east and the west and the north and the south, meaning anybody who is willing to accept the gift can make it. We're going to be celebrating this next week, as you know, All Saints Day. All Saints Day is a great celebration of the mercy of God and his desire to bring people into salvation, All Saints Day. And we're going to celebrate the next day the great mercy of God for people who are repentant but have still not worked out all the kinks. And so we rejoice in the mercy of God revealed in purgatory, that process of being purified so that we can enter fully into salvation. So it's deep in the church's tradition to rejoice in the promise of salvation. But it's also necessary for us to see our part in it. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. See, even though it all depends on God, we still have to strive. And that's the balance that I say St. Joseph can help us grasp. I mean, he didn't hear this gospel. He was dead already when Jesus said this. But he had this deep spiritual intuition that when you know the will of God, you do it. You put your whole self into it. That's why I think Joseph the worker is a great example for us. Here's a man who strives to do the will of God. But he never thinks that because he does the will of God, he deserves salvation. He at the end of the day, he says, I've given you everything. I'm going to rest now. And I belong to you. You could almost hear him say, Jesus, I trust in you. Although he probably didn't say it quite like that. But Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I trust in you. Even though I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do, I've got an impossible task before me, even though I have enemies chasing me to Egypt or whatever, I trust in you. So that balance between taking responsibility for our salvation, striving to enter the narrow gate, and putting all our trust in God is what I think we need to take from this gospel, because Jesus certainly does not want us to be afraid of being lost. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety about the gate being too narrow for us. He does want us, though, to strive. And that's it, because that's good for us. God wants us to develop, to grow, to be stronger, to be more giving, more courageous, more willing to sacrifice. Yes. Not because he needs all that, but because that's good for us. And we become more like him. And it, but when he says strive to enter, he also wants us to know that it doesn't all depend on us. That expression, does it come from St. Ignatius? Work as if everything depends on you, pray as if everything depends on God. That's kind of what I'm trying to say in reflecting on this, on these readings, and asking St. Joseph to help us get this, to live in peace, even though we're working as hard as we possibly can.